20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, and today is a special collaboration between the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Draft Fellows. I'm Andrew Mertig. That right there, that's Kyle Fellows. Together, we are the Draft Fellows, and Andy was gracious enough to let us fill in today on both the video and audio platforms, and we're going to bring you an entire first-round mock draft. So we're going to alternate picks. You can check out the audio versions of our On the Clock series if you want to go a little bit more in depth about each one of the teams in the first round, which releases every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday on the Pack-A-Day audio channels. Today, we're going to be alternating picks back and forth. I think we have a pretty good idea of where teams are going to go now that free agency is upon us, now that a lot of pro days are behind us. And I think this one's going to be really fun, Kyle.
I think it is as well. And we've been doing mock drafts for a couple months on and off with the Draft Fellows on our channel. And it feels like you said, like some things are starting to settle out a little bit more so we can make maybe not accurate predictions, because we know like these mock drafts never end up going the way that we think that they might. But we kind of have the groundwork laid. So it's exciting to kind of get in about a month out from the draft and see like, okay, how are things now? And then really like over the next month, like how are things changing from where we perceive them to be right now? So Andrew, are we ready to jump right in here and get to number one?
Yeah, and you drew odds, so you get the pleasure of going first overall. And now the Tennessee Titans are on the clock.
Okay, so there's a lot of intrigue about what the Titans are actually going to do when they are on the clock. And there's a buzz right now that Cam Ward is going to be that player, that they're going to take their quarterback, and that there seems to be a quarterback one in this class and then a little bit of a drop off after that. That's kind of the perception. Do the Titans, you know, take that player? I also am of the opinion that maybe that they are trying to set the groundwork for a trade still, that they're trying to convince everybody, hey, we're going to take this player, we really like this player, but really it's a, they would really like the Browns to move up one spot, or maybe the Giants to take, you know, that leap up to one. It just seems like there's a lot of information out there of like how much they like Cam Ward, which is a little bit odd if they don't want, you know, care if everybody knows that or not. So I'm going to say, long intro, but I'm going to say that Abdul Carter is the pick here at one. Maybe in real life, this ends up being a pick at two or at three. And maybe I change my mind in the next couple of weeks. But right now, I'm still going to go Abdul Carter to the Titans as they kind of build the rest of this roster out before dropping in the quarterback, maybe in a future year. So at one, the Penn State edge rusher, Abdul Carter, to the Titans.
Fascinating. So that leaves me on the clock at number two with the Cleveland Browns. And I do think that they are a landing spot for Cam Ward. And I think that's the way I should go.
Uh-oh.
But we're going to shake things up just a little bit more. Okay. The Cleveland Browns have two perceived needs, one at wide receiver, one at cornerback, and it would be nice if you could fill both of those needs with one player, correct? Yes. I'll take that silence as a yes. So my pick is actually going to be Travis Hunter out of Colorado. I know the Browns need a quarterback. I get it. But I don't know if when you're coaching for your job and you really want to put things in the hands of a rookie quarterback to save said job, especially given the other needs. This was a roster that I think we thought was one of the most talented in the league just a couple of years ago. It has really, really struggled. The Browns have struggled. And I think in order to be the most competitive that they can be, adding a rookie quarterback right now is not the right time. So I'm going to go with Travis Hunter, the wide receiver / corner out of Colorado at pick two.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because I thought maybe I was the domino that was going to break this whole thing down at the beginning. Turns out that was you, sir, because I really thought we were going quarterback at two there. But I'm excited to be back on the board at three with the New York Giants. And they are also really excited to be on the board at this point because they haven't had to move. They didn't have to go up to one. And in this simulation, they're going to get to sit right there at number three and take Cam Ward to put behind dynamic quarterback Jameis Winston, who they've just added there. So he can sit as long as he needs to, but then be the future there. Give the organization an opportunity, the front office and the coaching staff a chance to attach themselves to a rookie quarterback with a really high ceiling. So I think they are elated that Cam Ward is still on the board for them at three and they make that pick.
Yeah, and so that puts me in a precarious place at number four since we shook things up a little bit. And I mean, I do expect Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter to both be off the board by pick four, but that's the two players that seem like they fit the mm-hmm. Patriots the best. They'd be the best value of both being elite players and also matching up with needs that they have. The Patriots ideally would love this to be a class where there was a Joe Alt, for instance, and an elite offensive lineman, because protecting Drake May is priority one. That offensive line is a little questionable. And so they wish that somebody would ascend the board. Well, guess what, Kyle? Somebody has ascended the board. And so the Patriots at pick four are going to take Armand Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, somebody that I think truly can be a top-notch left tackle in this league. He has the size, the strength, the length, the movement abilities. I think he can be an elite prospect. And even though we don't necessarily perceive that because of where he started this conversation back in November and December, he has ascended to that point, and I think this is a really good spot of matching value and need.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday when we decided odds and evens for this draft, and I knew I wasn't going to get to pick for the Patriots, but I was like, you know, if I was, even if some of the other prospects are on the board, is Membu good enough that he's such an upgrade for this organization at tackle that, like, just don't overthink it. Like, Drake May would be thrilled to have that kind of player in the building. So I love it. I really don't think that's much of a consolation prize considering what they currently have there in New England. So on to number five, I'm up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I feel like the Jaguars are kind of in a situation where at five, they can do two different things. They probably need to figure out a way to take the best player available who helps the organization get better. Of course, like, that's what you're doing in the draft, or excites the fan base. The other thing is they just need someone who's going to help change that culture. And I think that that's probably the biggest thing here. And I think there's a player on the board who gives them that lunch pail mentality, who can come in and they know this is a player who's highly unlikely to bust and just can continue to be a building block for the future. And I think that's Mason Graham, the defensive lineman from Michigan. So five is probably maybe his perceived ceiling, but I really just think he checks all of the boxes here for what the Jacksonville Jaguars need going forward. So excited to get that kind of an impact player for the defense at five for the Jags.
And then I'm on the board at six for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think Mason Graham would have been a really good fit here. You know, said there are some comparisons to him and maybe like a Christian Wilkins, or I should say Christian Wilkins and Mason Graham probably accentuate each other's talents really well. Maybe looking a little bit like Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant at Michigan. So I think that would be fun for the Raiders, but obviously he's gone in this situation. The Raiders do have a need at corner, and Will Johnson out of Michigan is always screaming my name. He's going to be my number one overall prospect in this whole class. But there are some rumors that he might slide a little bit. And so we're going to get a little weird with this one. We're going to go with running back Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State. And I know that's like alarmingly high. He was way high early in the mock draft season, and then he was way low, and now he's kind of like filtering out maybe around this 6 to 15 range. Mm-hmm. And so I think just the opportunity for the Raiders to get a dynamic running back to pair up, you know, with a young playmaker in Brock Bowers and really start to mold this offense into something that Pete Carroll can work with going forward. I think Ashton Jeanty completely changes the trajectory of your offense.
Okay, so I like that. I mean, I was curious what you were going to do there because it was a big linchpin in a few of my next couple picks. So the board is holding together, though, so we're excited. At seven, the Jets are on the board, and there are a couple different directions that I think the Jets could go. I think that they would really – I think they should be really interested in Armand Membu if he were to still be on the board. I don't know if they'll go that way, but I love – just fix the offensive line that you haven't fixed forever, right? Like, do that. But he's gone here. I think Mason Graham is super intriguing if he were to get to seven. So maybe, like, Graham has a really, like, narrow window. Maybe, like, five is his ceiling, like, seven is his floor. Like, it feels like he should go off the board in this range, but he's gone. And so – I'm actually going to do something here. I'm going to give them a weapon for this offense to help Fields in the future. We're going to go tight end Tyler Warren here at 7 overall. This is probably the high. I've seen him go like crazy high, and this is maybe a little bit high for where I have him, but I do think that the fit is really nice, what he adds to that offense, and kind of diversifies the way that they can move the football down the field. I think Warren's a super interesting player who has a ceiling as a blocker, but is also going to give you a lot in the passing game. And so the Jets take a little bit of a swing here with the Penn State tight end Tyler Warren.
I like that a lot. And then I'm on the clock at pick 8 for the Carolina Panthers. And I think ideally, if there was a wide receiver that seemed like a top 10 value, this is a great landing spot for the Panthers. I think a defensive back makes a lot of sense here. And again, I'd be clamoring for Will Johnson out of Michigan. Panthers did just make some decent investments in the secondary through free agency. And I think anytime you can get somebody that has the potential to be an elite edge rusher, you go ahead and do that. And Kyle, you know how I feel about Shamar Stewart, the edge out of Texas A&M. I think with his testing, with the potential for him to really like leap in production, slimming down a little bit, Texas A&M wanted their edges to play really heavy, not necessarily rush the passer, but Stewart has all the ability to do that. And I think he will be a really dynamic potential, or hold dynamic potential as a prospect going into Carolina.
Okay, so you're crushing some dreams of some Packers fans with that pick. We're a long way from pick 23, but Shamar Stewart already off the board at 8 overall. And it felt like he was kind of cemented there, like right in this like late top 10, early teen spot. And then recently we've seen him all over the board. So it'll be interesting to see where Shamar Stewart does end up going. But the athleticism is certainly really, really intriguing there for Shamar Stewart. I'm up at 9 with the New Orleans Saints. And again, a team that could go a lot of different directions. Mason Graham is, I think, a really strong consideration if he were still on the board. He's gone. Will Campbell is a player that early on was easily offensive tackle 1. Not a lot of debate there, but now that Mimbu has kind of seemingly jumped him, Campbell's kind of left in this like no man's land of feeling like a consolation prize. But a lot of people, I mean, he was OT1 for a reason for a long time. But for the Saints in particular, Nick Salvadori and Landon Young were pretty bad at guard last year. And I think Will Campbell can step in and play that guard spot pretty quickly. And then if Trevor Penning continues to struggle, you've got someone who can kick out to offensive tackle long term. So I really like the fit and the value for Will Campbell sliding to pick 9 here with the New Orleans Saints.
And then I have the Chicago Bears at pick 10, the pick everybody's been waiting for in the Pack Day podcast. Jokingly, this was always an offensive lineman up until the two trades for guards and obviously acquiring Drew Dahlman in free agency. This was always an offensive lineman, and I would have been furious to lose out on Will Campbell by 1 pick previously. That doesn't seem like as big of a need now. I know there's some whispers this could be an Ashton Jeanty landing spot, but of course he's off the board already in this mock draft. I think safety Malachi Starks would be a fun fit in Chicago as well. Yeah. But I'm going to go a little different. I know this player is there's a lot of whispers that he's falling dramatically. I think both Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah in their latest mocks had him falling all the way to pick 30 to the Buffalo Bills. I just see Kenneth Grant from Michigan as an amazing prospect. I think he fills a lot of needs for the Chicago Bears, helping them to be a much better run stuffing unit. And in addition, can provide a little bit of upside in the pass rush. Also going from Ann Arbor to, wherever Chicago plays now outside of Chicago, not that far of a trip. And I think he would be a really fun player, somebody that the Chicago Bears fan base would really get behind. So Kenneth Grant of Michigan at pick 10.
Okay, so this is the first one where I got sniped because Kenneth Grant was going to be a San Francisco 49er right here at 11. But I've got some other ideas here. I figured it was going to be in the trenches, offensive line or defensive line. And so you broke the tie there for me. And we are going to go offensive lineman here. And I'm torn between a couple of players. I'm torn with the player that I think the league is going to be higher on in the draft and then the player that I have a little bit higher. And so I'm going to go where predictively maybe he goes off the board a little bit higher, and that's Kelvin Banks. the Texas tackle. And I think that this is kind of a planning for the future. You've got Trent Williams, who can't play forever, but also the San Francisco team could certainly benefit, much like what we just did with Will Campbell, where he can come in, you know, he's going to be able to play a guard for you. And then he can also potentially, if he can stick there, be your tackle of the future. So I don't know that it's a, if there's a situation where you lose on the pick, it's just where he plays long term. So 49ers go Kelvin Banks at 11 overall.
All right. I have the Dallas Cowboys at pick 12, and I think they would love it if Ashton Jeanty slid to them. I'm not sure if they would pull the trigger on that, but I think that would be a really, really nice fit. I do think that they would love to bolster their edge rush room. I think if there's a wide receiver that they really fell in love with, you know, adding a wide receiver to next to CeeDee Lamb would be really great. And I'm a little bit tempted to take Matthew Golden and keep him in Texas. I think that would be a nice skill set fit, and two guys that could really, you know, play off of each other as well and get Dak Prescott another weapon. I'm going to go a little bit different route. If you remember, not that long ago, the Cowboys took Travis Frederick in the first round as a center, and they took Zach Martin as a guard in the first round. And so I think they do see the value in the interior offensive line. They got so much value out of those two players specifically. And bolstering the interior of that offensive line has to be a major point. So I'm going to go with Gray Zabel, the offensive lineman out of North Dakota State, who I think is going to get drafted somewhere around this range. Wow. I think he's an elite level interior offensive line prospect. And especially in this draft, that value is going to get snatched up very early. So Gray Zabel at number 12.
I had thoughts for Gray Zabel later, but now those are ruined. So, all right, remind me, Andrew, who did the Chicago Bears take at 10?
The Bears took Kenneth Grant.
Thank you. I was, you mentioned another name. I want to make sure I didn't double draft somebody here, but the 13, the Dolphins are on the clock, and Javon Holland has departed there. And this is a pick that I've made, I think, in a couple of drafts. I just love the fit. I think it works from a leadership standpoint. I think it brings a lot of replacing some of what Holland does, but also giving them that more traditional safety piece as well. And I'm going to take Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia here, to really be a leader in the back end of that defense. And so he's a player that I think a lot of people have kind of, he's so boring because I feel like he's so solid. And so at 13, that's kind of like that perfect range of like, you're not getting the high end guys and you're starting to get into the guys with more questions. I don't think there's a lot of questions with Malachi Starks. And I think it's a really nice safe pick for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, Indianapolis Colts at number 14. I think tight end certainly is a fit here, and so Tyler Warren's off the board. But Colton Loveland would still be a fun addition to this Indianapolis offense. Solve a need that they've had for quite a while. Interior offensive lineman, but Gray Zabel's gone, so I don't love the value here as well. There's a lot of edge players I could go with. You just sniped me on the safety. So unless I want to push up Nick Imanwari, yeah. I think I would stay away from that. I'm going to go with another perceived need of theirs, and that is linebacker. And historically, this has been a team that has taken like mid to late round picks and just turned them into stars at linebacker. But they are getting a little thin. They've had a lot of those players leave via free agency or reach the end of their careers. And so I'm going to go with Jihad Campbell out of Alabama. I think he is going to be a really fun staple and the second level of their defense. But in addition, because they have a need at edge, he can be an edge rusher as well. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be able to use him in a lot of different ways. So I love that fit. Jihad Campbell to the Colts at 14.
Editing my document because you're ruining my plans again. so let's see. I'm up at 15. You didn't ruin my plans at 15, just down the board here. So at 15, the Falcons are on the clock. And actually, I thought about going Tyler Warren here, and I really like this idea. I'm not going to do it because he went to the Jets at 7 already, but I like what he could do for the offense and just give them something very different than what they've had with Kyle Pitts there over the last few years. But the Falcons need an edge rusher so bad, and it feels like the Falcons always need an edge rusher. But we're back again. And there's two guys I'm considering here. You're excited about Arnold Ebiketie that you have in the building. You brought in Leonard Floyd as kind of that designated pass rusher kind of a guy. He'll get after the quarterback, but he's not really, you know, super stout against the run. That may be an understatement. You need another guy, I think, who can be that heavy presence. So I'm going to go Mykel Williams here at 15 and give them that heavier edge who can kind of alternate with Leonard Floyd and give you a little bit of something different off the edge.
Love it. I know my friend, shout out Brian, who's a big Falcons fan, was not happy with you talking about Tyler Warren to them.
Oh, really?
So probably like the edge rusher a little bit better.
There you go.
At pick 16, I have the Arizona Cardinals, and they could certainly use some help in the interior offensive line, defensive line. I think there would be a lot of great fits, and there's a lot of great values in this draft. There's a player just staring me in the face, and he meets a need and to me is by far the best player on the board. And that is Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan. Mm. I mentioned before, he's going to be my number one overall player in this draft, but I do expect him to slide a little bit. For the Cardinals, that match of like skill set and need is absolutely perfect. And Will Johnson could be their best corner since Patrick Peterson.
Okay, I've got a big decision here to make.
That was a wild comparison, and you had no reaction.
I'm sorry. I didn't listen to a word you said, honestly. I am reeling
Will
right
Johnson,
now.
Mark it down. I know.
You got Will. He took the Michigan corner. I got that part. No, I'm reeling because I want two different things for the Bengals here at 17, and I can't do both. I think that one is smart, and I think one is necessary. And you can't do both. So I'm tempted to go offensive line. I think that they should do that to make sure that they can do everything that they need to on offense to put up 45 a game, because that is the plan going forward there in Cincy. But they also need an edge rusher. Okay. They are in a place where Trey Hendrickson's pretty upset. We don't know how that's going to pan out. He's probably going to be there, probably going to pay him. But their other edge rusher, Sam Hubbard, retired. They don't have a lot behind that. So I'm going to say in this situation that they're going to go James Pierce, the edge rusher, to give them someone opposite of Hendrickson if he's still there, which I feel like would be a dynamic, you know, pairing. But then also you get a situation where if he's gone and you have to do something crazy, that like you have another edge rusher in the building as well. So James Pierce, a little light, but a super productive edge rusher out of Tennessee for the Bengals here at 17.
Yeah, I think that's a fun mix of skill sets with Trey Hendrickson. Pierce being so quick and so explosive, and it was such a good bend, kind of a counteractive measure, if you will, for Trey Hendrickson. I have the Seahawks at pick 18, and I'm a little stuck here because this is my Gray Zabel floor, but I sniped myself on that one. They have needs at both center and guard, interior offensive line, massive need up in the Pacific Northwest. But I'm going to go with an edge player as well. And I think, taking a look at what Mike McDonald might want and some of the history with the Baltimore Ravens, I think Mike Green, the edge out of Marshall, is a really good fit here as a developmental edge rusher, somebody who has a ton of tools in the toolbox, and McDonald is going to have the ego to feel like his staff is going to get the most out of Mike Green. So he goes at pick 18.
Very nice. I don't know like how plugged in we are relative to what's going to really happen, but that was like my consideration. So maybe that's the pocket for these players, was James Pierce, Mike Green. And then the player that I'm going to take next at 19 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm going to go Jalen Walker here. And he's kind of an interesting player because he can play off ball, but he's a really good pass rusher. And I think he's a more natural pass rusher. He's just short. So at 6'1", like that's something you kind of have to factor in. Like, is he long enough to win in the NFL? But by all accounts, characters off the charts, team leader, coaches love this guy. So Jalen Walker is going a lot higher in a lot of mocks, but I think the Bucs getting him here at 19 is pretty awesome for them. And then Lavonte David can't play forever, and I think pairing him up with someone who can play now at linebacker is really important too. So you kind of get best of all worlds, right? Like somebody who can play next to Lavonte, but also can move out and rush the passer in some creative ways. So Jalen Walker, maybe a little bit of a steal here at 19 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and they were able to get a lot out of Devin White and his blitzing ability. And Walker has a much more versatile skill set than Devin White ever did. So interesting there. I have pick 20 with the Denver Broncos. And we still haven't had a wide receiver taken, so that's certainly an option here as well. I think center would be a good fit here, but of course, Gray Zabel went much earlier. And then defensive line, running back. I think this is probably a little too high for RB2, but certainly a ton of defensive line talent that is still around. I think for the Broncos, they really want to get the most out of Bo Nix. And taking a look at diversifying the skill sets, we're going to bypass Tetaroa McMillan here. We're going to go with Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden. At pick 20, he's going to end up being wide receiver one. I think that is a really good skill set mashup with Courtland Sutton. And I think for the Broncos to then have, you know, adding Evan Ingram, adding Matthew Golden, you know, and then I think the second round is going to allow you to add a running back into the mix as well, mm-hmm. To really like put Bo Nix in the best position to succeed this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It feels like the Broncos went from being a total mess to like things really coming together nicely for them. And I think that that could be one of those missing pieces with Matthew Golden there that they really, really need. So 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the board. And the directions I can go here are weird. And the Steelers are a weird organization. Like, we don't even know if the Aaron Rodgers thing is going to completely happen at this point when we're recording that. That could be a domino to fall. But I'm going to say, I'm not going to say Jackson Dart because Andrew may just end this recording right now if I say Jackson Dart. But predictively, like, that's still something that like we're hearing a little bit of, that they like the Ole Miss quarterback. But I'm going to say Omarion Hampton here at 21. And I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers just need that impact running back. We know that they have Kenneth Gainwell, that they've gotten over from Philly. They have Jaylen Warren in the building, but it feels like they need someone that they can run that offense through. And if they get Aaron Rodgers and then they have both Pickens and DK Metcalf running deep, I feel like that could really open things up for someone like Omarion Hampton to not only do some things on the ground, but also in the passing game as well. So I like the fit with Omarion Hampton to the Steelers at 21.
All right. I have the Los Angeles Chargers at pick 22. And in my opinion, if there was a wide receiver who fit their needs a little bit better, I would probably go there. I think Tyrone McMillan's probably a little redundant on a team that already has Quentin Johnston. I think that they would love to address defensive line, and there are a ton of players available there. I'm going to be lazy on this one. And that is, they have a big need at tight end, and there is a player who played for their head coach in college in Colston Loveland, who could have a B plus version of Brock Bowers' skill set. He is a flex out, a wide receiver ish tight end. He's willing to do some of the dirty work. He's just not maybe the most effective inline blocker you'll see. But I think that ability is going to really help diversify the skill set. And with Ladd McConkey working the slot, Colston Loveland kind of stretching the seams, they can really dominate the middle of the field and then hopefully open some things up outside and, more importantly for them, in the run game. So Colston Loveland, the Chargers at 22.
Okay, so we are here. We have arrived at pick 23, the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, no pressure here. Andrew wisely said, I have to make this pick.
So. Since this is a Pack-A-Day podcast and we can allow ourselves to be biased, can I just go over some of the options?
Yeah,
Tell me what you're thinking about. Tetaroa McMillan is screaming.
Yeah.
This is the Packers' chance to take the wide receiver in the first round. I think Jahde Barron is a fun option. Yeah. Although, given their propensity for slot quarters, Jahde Barron sort of, that's interesting. Luther Burton the third. I mean, nobody's talking about him in the same stratosphere that they were before, but that's a fun, explosive option for them. Mm-hmm. Donovan Azuraku, the edge rusher out of Boston College, really cool. If they wanted to go tackle and start looking at, like, maybe Rashid Walker's not around after next year, Josh Simmons is available. Emeka Abuka, the wide receiver. And then you have this glut of defensive linemen, Walter Nolan, Derek Harmon, Darius Alexander. A lot of options, man. I don't envy you.
No, honestly, like, this is a really good board for the Packers. I am in a place where, like, I there's some drafts you get to and you're like, I don't know, like, five picks ago I felt really good and now we're a little thin on options. This is not one of those situations. The player you mentioned that I wouldn't consider is Luther Burden. Like, I just, that's not a player that I would take here at 23. McMillan is interesting, and he's interesting to me. He's my wide receiver three, and I really, really like him, but he is my wide receiver three. But he's also the player that I think Brian Gutekunst might say, there's enough about this player that, like, is different than what we have and is special beyond what we can find in rounds two and three, that I think that, that's the wide receiver to watch. Like, may, if there's one that they might actually, you know, pivot from their traditional ways to take in the first round, it could be McMillan. So that's something here to consider. Jadeveon is, I love Jadeveon. So like, that's another, and we, you didn't mention Maxwell Hairston, but you've talked about him before, that he's kind of your sneaky outside idea for the Packers. I am falling more and more in love with that idea and that fit that Brian Gutekunst might actually, that might be something that he would consider. Yeah, the wide receiver, Ebuka being on the board here, lots and lots of good options. The other names that are gone that I thought we might be looking at were Shamar Stewart and Mykel Williams. Those are the two. I'm not like upset that they're gone, but I think that they were logical fits for this team. I'm tempted to take the sexy player, take the wide receiver, but I'm going to do the Packers thing here, and I'm going to take Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle from Oregon. This is a player that I feel like can come in. I think he's better than what you're going to get around later. And I like, I know that this is a deep defensive tackle class, and that's like probably my deciding factor here, is I do think that he's a more impactful player than what you're going to get in rounds two and three. I think he's a player who can come in and fill the TJ Slayton role at an absolute floor, but gives you a ceiling that is so, so much higher. He's got the length that's really intriguing. He had 43 hurries in 2024. So this is a, you know, he's an impactful player that doesn't always, you know, register the sacks. He had five of those as well, but like, he's a player who's pushing the pocket and I think is going to destroy offensive lines. And you put him in the group that you currently have that you feel pretty good about. I think he's a nice diversification of that defensive line room. And so I think that there's enough smoke there with the Packers showing up, you know, to pro days and things like that, that I feel comfortable predictively, but also liking the player to take the defensive tackle Harmon here at 23 for the Packers.
All right. So if you're upset that Kyle didn't take a wide receiver, at you can, the Kyle Fellows.
Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky at Andrew Mertig. That's pretty
funny. All right. Pick 24, I have the Minnesota Vikings after the Packers take Derek Harmon. And they have a need at defensive line as well. And I think they probably would like a player like Derek Harmon. Running back is a need, but I think with Hampton and Genty both gone, that's probably out the window. I was going to go with Jadeveon here, but I was just thinking about it as you were talking, and I know that Brian Flores likes his big physical corners, and so I'm going to go with Trey Amos, the cornerback out of Ole Miss. I think he fits the scheme. I think he's a really sneaky value here. And yeah. I think the Vikings would really, really enjoy that and sort of playing that Stephon Gilmore role from last year.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into the range in this draft where it's starting to feel like there's like 20 guys that need to go in the next like 7-8 picks to, like, you know, because we're like, there's so many guys that people are like, oh yeah, they're a first round lock, but like, there's just not that many slots. So this is fun to see who's left on the board. And I feel like we've done a good, our due diligence to like, meet needs and slot players appropriately, but there's a lot of good players here and they just can't all go because we're up to 25 with the Houston Texans and there's players I want to take, but the need and the fit isn't there. So I'm going to go offensive line here for the Texans. There's a need, there's a fit here. I really like, I love the Ebuka fit, man. Like, just getting that connection there, it makes a ton of sense, but they brought in Cam Robinson and Trent Brown to cover for this loss of Laremy Tunsil. And that is some patchwork right there. Like, this is not a long-term solution. And so I'm going to say Josh Simmons is the player that I feel like could be the best tackle in this entire class. And if he didn't have the injury, I don't think he gets outside the top 10. So for them to be able to say, hey, we've got a plan for 2025, but then we also have a plan for the future with someone like Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, I feel like is a really smart plan. But man, Ebuka is staring me in the face and I really want to make that pick, but I'm going to say Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle.
All right. And I have the LA Rams at pick 26, and both of the first round perceived tight ends are off the clock. You just sniped Josh Simmons from the Rams. That's their big tackle need. I think there are some corners that they would consider for sure. And there's a linebacker who could stay in LA, Carson Schlesinger from UCLA, that I think is the perfect fit for the Rams. And that would be my pick, except there's a player that has not been even addressed so far today. And we don't know how much longer Matthew Stafford has. I know he signed the extension.
Yes.
And Shedeur Sanders is still on the board.
Yes.
And while I don't think he's a perfect McVay fit, I think the idea of the value here is so intriguing that the Rams go ahead and pull the trigger. So Colorado's quarterback Shedeur Sanders to the LA Rams at pick 26.
Yeah, I have him circled on a piece of paper, a physical piece of paper right next to my, and I'm like, and I bypassed him with the Steelers at 21. Just, I didn't love the fit there, but I think this is fascinating. Like, you know, we've seen crazier things happen with slides of quarterbacks and those kinds of things, but what a value, what an opportunity for him to go to an offense that knows exactly, you know, how to get the most out of their quarterbacks in that system. So 27, I have the Baltimore Ravens on the clock here, and that was really good sound effects for a podcast. That's me thinking, if you're not on the video version. Man, there are some good options here. I am going to say that the Ravens want to get better on the offensive line. They have an opening on, I think that on the right side of that upgrade, a left guard. Left guard is where they'd like to get better. Andrew Voorhees is set to start there, and I think they'd like some competition in that spot. And I think Voorhees only has a couple of years left on that deal. I think they'd like to get better there. And it feels like good players just always fall to the Baltimore Ravens. And so I'm going to say Tyler Booker, the Alabama guard, gets sniped here by the Baltimore Ravens, and they just continue to build a wall in front of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry that allows them to do what they want to do on offense. So Tyler Booker to the Ravens.
Yeah, and that's probably where I would have gone with the Detroit Lions at pick 28, but obviously he's gone. I think edge, there's still some good value here. Players like Donovan Ezeraco. I think linebacker Carson Schlesinger seems like a Detroit Lion fit. And I think he would be really good there as well. But listen, Kyle had so many opportunities to take this player and just wouldn't. He refused to. So if you're upset about this as a Packers fan, you go ahead and blame Kyle for making me do this. The Lions at pick 28 are going to take wide receiver Tetaroa McMillan out of Arizona. And they get yet another really fantastic player who slides them. He's going to be a force in the blocking game. He is going to be a really annoying receiver. And I know maybe the Lions don't have a huge perceived need at wideout, but now they're going to have the ability to play Jameson, McMillan, and then Amon-Ra in the slot full time. And, you know, Josh Reynolds had some success in this role, and Tetaroa McMillan is considerably better than Josh Reynolds. So, yuck. I don't like this.
He was the other player I was considering for the Ravens, just and that may have been the better pick for them, but this is where the slide had to stop. Like, I think McMillan is a player that this is probably we're getting into floor territory for him for sure. At 29, the Commanders are on the clock, and when you dive into this Commanders depth chart after their free agency activity, and there was a fair amount of it, edge is the one big remaining that sticks out like a sore thumb. They have Dorrance Armstrong, who's a decent player, and they have some depth in guys that they've brought in, like Cleveland Farrell and Dietrich Wise is there as well. But nobody that really scares you if you're an opposing offense or an opposing offensive lineman. And so I am going to say this is a player I really love. Donovan Ezeraco, I think, is a good fit for them as far as need and just value here at 29. So I think the Boston College edge rusher Donovan Ezeraco goes to the Commanders here.
All right, Buffalo Bills at pick 30 on the clock, and I think they could probably use an edge, a linebacker. Carson Schlesinger, again, I know this is like the fourth time I've mentioned him. I think in Buffalo he would be really, really fun, kind of plugging in next to Matt Milano and giving them 2-3 down linebackers. And that's the way I was going to go, but I just think that Jahdae Barron, the defensive back out of Texas, is too good of a value here. The Bills have needs at both corner and probably safety is upgradable. And so I think Barron can fit in both. And yes, the Bills already have one of the best slot corners in the NFL. But if we learned anything from Washington, the team you just picked, like Mike Sanders still was considered like a slot only kind of player. He played outside really, really well all of his rookie year. And I think Jahdae Barron is the kind of talented player who can do a lot of different things. And Sean McDermott is going to love that in the Buffalo defense. So Jahdae Barron to the Bills at 30.
Yeah, he was a player that I was starting to feel like we just need to get him into this mock. He was maybe going to go to the Chiefs. Just the value is too good to pass up. But the Chiefs are up at 31. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have this backwards. Sorry.
Oh,
I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and edit.
Thank you.
For our visual YouTube watchers.
All right, so I'm up with the Chiefs at 31. I'm gonna make Andrew actually wait to pay homage to the Philadelphia.
All right, we gotta get done with this.
We're trying to close it out. I'm up at 31 with the Chiefs, and they lost the Super Bowl largely in part, I think, because they lost the battle in the trenches, and so they are going to address that, I think, in one way or another. There's some offensive line options they could consider. There's a player here that I think is kind of a borderline first, second round player that I really like, that I think that they could pair with the, we got our graphics back. We got our graphics. They're back up. We're good. There's a player that they can pair with Chris Jones here that I think would be really, really intriguing. And that's Tyleek Williams, the Ohio State defensive tackle. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that here and allow them just to get a little bit more beefed up there in the middle and maybe prevent some of the things that we saw happen to them in the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. So at 31, Tyleek Williams.
All right. And then I have the Philadelphia Eagles to round things out at pick 32. And I think they could use a guard, edge, corner. I think all of those things are very much in play, and I think there's some pretty good values here as well. I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path. I'm going to go with a safety. Nick Emmanuare out of South Carolina, yeah. I think is just too good of a value. He is a big, super athletic freak of nature, and I think you plug him into the back end, and Philadelphia just continues to go from secondary being a big weakness 2 years ago to one of the best units in the entire league. And so I think he's a really fun fit as well. So that will wrap things up. I'll give you a quick synopsis of what we did. The Titans took Abdul Carter at 1. At number 2, the Cleveland Browns take Travis Hunter. The New York Giants get their quarterback and Cam Ward at pick 3. The Patriots go with tackle Armand Membu. And the Jaguars at 5 go Michigan's defensive lineman Mason Graham. At pick 6, the Raiders get running back Ashton Jeanty. At 7, the Jets get tight end Tyler Warren. The Panthers take Texas A&M edge rusher Shamar Stewart. At pick 9, the New Orleans Saints go with LSU's offensive lineman Will Campbell. At pick 10, the Chicago Bears take Michigan defensive lineman Kenneth Grant. At pick 11, Kelvin Banks Jr. goes to the 49ers. Cowboys take Gray Zabel, the interior offensive lineman. The Dolphins get Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia. The Colts at 14 go linebacker Jihai Campbell. The Falcons at pick 15 take edge rusher Michael Williams out of Georgia. And then the Cardinals take cornerback Will Johnson out of Michigan. At pick 17, the Bengals go edge James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee. The Seahawks take another edge in Mike Green. The Buccaneers get linebacker Jalen Walker out of Georgia. And then at pick 20, the Denver Broncos go wide receiver Matthew Golden. Pittsburgh Steelers take North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton. The Chargers go with tight end Colson Loveland. And your Green Bay Packers at pick 23 take defensive lineman Derek Harmon out of Oregon. Wrapping things up, the Vikings go cornerback Trey Amos. The Texans take tackle Josh Simmons. The LA Rams go with quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And at 27, the Ravens take guard Tyler Booker. The Lions go with wide receiver Tajerome McMillan. At 29, Washington goes edge Donovan Ezeriku out of Boston College. The Bills get cornerback Jahdae Barron. The Chiefs take defense lineman Tyleek Williams. And the Eagles wrap things up with safety Nick Emmanuare out of South Carolina.
This is a really fun exercise, and I feel like I always learn so much as we just go through this practically of like, where are the landing spots? Where are the landing spots that, like, if they don't go there, like, how far can they slide? And we felt that in a couple of spots, notably with McMillan and a few others, like, that these guys just went a little bit later than they probably should. But that's just like, you can't control always all the factors in the draft. And there's just two minds at work here and not 32. So there's a lot of interesting things that happen going into what would be day two. Some interesting players that did not get drafted. Luther Burden, Emeka Abuka still on the board, Josh Connerly, Jackson Dart. We only had two running backs go. So like, that could be different than in real life if a third running back sneaks in. I think Walter Nolan is still on the board. Did you take Walter?
Yes. Walter Nolan is gone.
And Maxwell he's still there. Okay. Walter Nolan's still on the board. And Maxwell Hairston also still on the board. So a really strong board entering a second round, just for, you know, interest of like, how is this going to look at the end of night one? There's going to be some great players still to be had, but a fun exercise. Let us know what you think of what we did. Let us know how we did with that Packers pick. And again, let us know on Blue Sky at Andrew Mertig. If you don't like it, if you do, you can always hit me up on Twitter. Thanks for joining us for this round of this mock draft. It was a lot of fun. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Draft Fellows and, of course, to the Packaday podcast. But from the draft room to the gridiron, the Draft Fellows have got you covered. Until next time, stay tuned and stay in the game.